is drawing some attention. Correspondent Chris Barnes takes a look.
There's a report claiming B-52 bombers rigged with nuclear weapons are now being prepared for 24-hour alert for the first time since the Cold War ended. Defense One is reporting preparations to do so are already underway as tensions continue to rise between the U.S. and North Korea. The preparations include renovations at Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana to house more than 100 crew members who would be able to operate as many as 9 bombers. Barksdale and other bases with nuclear bombers are also prepping storage facilities to house a new model of nuclear cruise missile. I'm Chris Barnes.
Some good news out of New York as two runaways who were trapped in human trafficking have been set free. Sarah Lee Kessler has the story.
The girls were runaways, one 14, the other 15, who left Ulster County last Wednesday and headed to an East New York home to stay with friends. They had no idea those friends would drug them, threaten them at knife point, and plan to pimp them out for $100 an hour. The teens were rescued Saturday when one managed to send a Facebook message to her dad, giving their location. Three 19-year-olds have been arrested and charged with rape, attempted sex trafficking, and promoting prostitution. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
And some good news out of California wine country. Wineries in Napa Valley open for business. Winery owners say the North Bay wildfires damaged only about a half dozen of the region's 500 wineries. USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Weather this afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high near 73. Southeast wind 9 to 11 miles per hour. Tonight, showers with thunderstorms also possible after 5 a.m., low around 62. Southeast wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 80%. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible. Except higher amounts possible Tuesday, showers and possibly a thunderstorm. Some of the storms could produce gusty winds and heavy rain. High near 73. South wind 10 to 16 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 100%. New rainfall amounts between 1 and 2 inches possible. Tuesday night, showers mainly before midnight. Low around 54. South wind 3 to 7 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 90%. New precipitation amounts between 3 quarters and 1 inch possible. Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 66. West wind 5 to 7 miles per hour. Wednesday night, a chance of showers after 4 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 40. Chance of precipitation is 30%. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we are all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses, use our own phones, that sort of thing. And someone once told me that working out of your house is good since you don't have a traffic jam going from the kitchen to the living room. But what we try to do is we try to help people who have someone either in their family who has a mental health issue or someone that they work with or know or best friends with. And we do this in various ways. One thing we do is we have a support group That's for folks to come. And you don't have to be a member of NAMI to come to the support group. It's held the third Thursday of every month, and it's at 52 East Main Street in Flemington. And everything that is said there is totally confidential. And we also have classes that we teach, like the family-to-family class, which is a 12-week course that covers medications, side effects, various illnesses, what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do in certain situations. And everything is free. We don't charge for anything. All the manuals, the folders, all the paperwork and everything is all free. Or you do have to register, but other than that, it's you, again, you don't have to be a member of NAMI to take it. We also have what they call a basics course, which is for families who have children who have a mental problem. And ADHD is now considered a mental illness. So it's anybody with children under the age of 18, I believe it is. And that's a six-week course. And, again, it's all free, but you have to register. If you need some more information or if you'd like to, you know, try to register for some of these courses, all you have to do is call 908-284-0500. We don't man the phone 24/7, but we do have somebody who checks it at least twice a day, and we promise you we will get back to you within a short amount of time. Today, we hear your last name, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's Therese Zimmer Farid.
Farid.
Okay, well, that was close. You know, I got to bet an 80% on that.
You did, you know. More than 80.
Therese is a clinical supervisor for the Spirit Program, and we're going to explain what that is in a little bit. And Therese's specialty is crisis intervention and intensive outpatient therapy. She's also a licensed clinical social worker. It is a pleasure to have you here. I mean that. It's been, you know, I see Gina all the time, and you know, we're on the same committee and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So, but it's a privilege to have you here and speaking about your program.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you.
Now, I understand you have about 20 years' experience in the mental health field.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. I always ask people how they get into this kind of work. So, you know, why don't you just give a little, how did you get into this field? I mean, when you were getting out of college, what did you want to do? Did you always want to do this or what?
Absolutely.
And I have to say, the reason I ask this is because sometimes people will say, you know, when this happened when I was seven and ever since then I wanted to be a nurse or I wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever. Somebody else had said to me one time, well, I had kids and I had a, you know, bills and a job came along and I took it, you know, and that sort of like fills my thing when I was working, four kids, a mortgage, car payments, taxes, gas to get back and forth to work. And, you know, so this job came along with Wound of Bread and I took it, you know, so that's why I just like to, I'm just curious, it's my own my own fetish that I like to listen to how people got involved in various things. So would you explain to us how you got involved in this?
Well, I would love to. And of course it is a job, but I feel very fortunate that it's a job I absolutely love. And I would say that I've always been interested in just the human condition, how our brain works, our mind works. So that really was what initially led me to pursue this career. And as I've been fortunate enough to work in mental health, I have just, I think, developed an ongoing and increasingly an increased admiration for people who live their lives with mental illness. The resiliency that one may show in times of a crisis or a trauma to me is awe-inspiring, and I feel lucky, and I feel inspired every opportunity I get to be able to work with someone.
Well, it's interesting because, like we were talking earlier before we were on the air, and where I said that we were doing a presentation at Educational Services, and it usually starts out, there's a woman that does it with me and has been doing it with me for quite a while, mm-hmm. or actually since we were doing it over there. But I usually start. She always has me start, and I usually tell the story about my son and my youngest. We have four kids, and my youngest son is paranoid schizophrenic. And so when I tell the story about it and how he's progressed and where he is, where he was then and how where he is now, I guess a lot of people in Hunterdon Behavioral Health feel he's a success story. Wow. So, you know, it's interesting to find out how people got, you know, mm-hmm. where they are and, you know, how they got into this.
Absolutely.
Okay. You're with the Spirit Program.
Yes.
For those that may be out there and not know what that is, would you explain what the Spirit Program is exactly?
I would be happy to. The Spirit Program is a program at Catholic Charities, the Diocese of Metuchen, and it is an intensive outpatient program. So intensive outpatient level of care is a level of services, support, and structure that is more than an outpatient where you would see a therapist maybe once a week for an hour, but it is not as much support or structure as a partial hospitalization program. Mm-hmm. That level of care for someone dealing with a mental health illness would potentially be every day, several times a week, where you are in treatment, so to speak, all day long. From there, there could be inpatient where you're overnight.
Right.
So the intensive outpatient program, the Spirit Program, is about 6 hours a week someone would be there for.
Okay.
That would be the most. So that is for someone who does not require or does not need, hopefully, a higher level of care. So someone coming to the Spirit Program may seek services for up to 6 hours, which means they may come in 2, 3, 4 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that level of structure or support may be based on where they are in their stage of wellness and recovery. It might also be influenced or have something to do with their structure that they already have in place, their job, their schooling, other obligations they have. This level fits that the amount of support that they may be able to use to help the progress in their recovery or their wellness.
Okay. And who started it and when did it start?
Well, it's a program that is by Catholic Charities. So the Diocese of Metuchen is the organization that runs the Spirit Program. We have two of them. We have one in Hunterdon County, located in Flemington. We also have one in Somerset County, located in Bridgewater. And the Somerset County Spirit Program began in 2010, and the Hunterdon one began in 2011. So since then, we have serviced over 400 consumers, and we continue, thankfully, to go on from here.
All right. And I know I asked Gina this one time mm-hmm. because I wasn't sure. I says, well, it's with Catholic Charities, so do you have to be Catholic?
And that's always a good question.
You know, because it just the first thing that popped in my mind when I first heard about Catholic Charities years back.
Yes.
Okay, well, in order to get the services, you have to be Catholic, you know. And I was told in no uncertain terms, no,
sure,
you do
absolutely.
Not.
Absolutely. Correct. Yes, and that is true. So thankfully, I mean, Catholic Charities is a wonderful organization that has many, many very important, valuable services mm-hmm. out there. But absolutely, you do not need to be Catholic. We service any denominations, anyone who is seeking this type of help. The staff and people who work at Catholic Charities, too, do not need to be Catholic.
Right.
So
right.
So you're right. That is something that people sometimes will ask us. And we, like Gina has, you know, told people, you do not need to be Catholic at all. And I think it's, you know, the other sometimes stumbling point is the Spirit program, the name Spirit. People will think that there might be something religious about that, and there is not.
Right.
Not at all. So really the focus is just on mental health and how we can provide this support, this level of service for someone.
Now, what is – how do I say this? What is the level of a person seeking help? Mm-hmm. What is their level of mental illness? I mean, obviously it can't be to the point where they need hospitalization.
Correct.
So it's obviously that they're beyond that and they're, you know, leading a somewhat quote unquote normal life. But what is their
criteria?
There you go. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. You know, that's why I have you around. You know?
Okay. Well, that's the wonderful thing about the Spirit program. And as I mentioned a little bit before, our level is designed to help suit anyone with a mental health illness, which can include someone who might be struggling with depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, post-traumatic stress disorder, trauma of some sort, bipolar illness. So we are able to help people with a broad spectrum of mental health illness. And as you mentioned, you know, clearly someone who does not require at that time in their recovery the monitoring and the supervision to be in an inpatient level. So people will come to us seeking services where their symptoms, which might mean, you know, feeling fearful, anxious, overwhelmed, where it's really affected an area in their life that might be school or work. It could be affecting their life with their interpersonal relationships, supports, mm-hmm. family, or just overall their mental well-being, just feeling very overwhelmed and not feeling like they're able to control whatever it might be that they are struggling with. So they come to our program to be able to actively work on whatever it might be that seems overwhelming for them. So if they are feeling very paranoid and everything that they have used before doesn't seem to be working, but it really doesn't require that they need to go inpatient mm-hmm. or somewhere all day, this is the perfect program and level of care to really help them regain the skills and the strategies or learn them
right.
to empower them and get them back on a path of recovery where they're able to still return to the things that also help them as far as whether it is school or work, things like that. And being able to also do that at the same time they come and receive services at the Spirit program.
Is there an age limit?
Yes.
Like
not a limit, but yes, 18 and older.
Okay.
So we have...
And older can be old.
Absolutely.
Like me.
They don't cut it off at the top.
And yeah. That's one of the other wonderful things that I have seen in the program is not only do we have a very broad spectrum of people with different disorders and at levels, but we also have a really wide spectrum of age, and that offers such a rich learning opportunity for people, not only their age that have given them the experience, but also where they may be in their wellness or recovery path, as far as going through something or relapsing mm-hmm. and experiencing things where people, this may be their first episode or experience of having to struggle through a symptom that they haven't had to do in the past.
Okay.
What are the requirements? How does someone end up in the mm-hmm. Spirit program?
Well, the requirements would be someone who is seeking help with a mental health illness or a mental health issue. And you have to have a mental health illness, which is the biggest requirement, and be 18 years and older.
So you don't have to be referred by a hospital as a condition of discharge from a mental hospital?
Correct. You
okay.
do not have to, although most of our referrals come from other resources and organizations in the community, which we work closely with, but someone can refer themselves
mm-hmm.
or a loved one.
Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about referring and coming 1 hour at a time, is this primarily for private therapy or what?
Well, it's not private therapy. Okay. So the typical person who may come may be experiencing, again, symptoms of whatever their mental health illness may be. So they're feeling overly anxious or having racing thoughts. You're not able to sleep. It's starting to affect their relationships, again, their work or their inability to work. Sometimes these symptoms are brought on by the cycle of mental illness, and they don't really seem to have maybe a precipitant or a reason. Other people, maybe it might be because of a reason, that there's been some sort of traumatic event in their life, or they've lost their job, they're having financial issues, and it gets to a point where they feel like they're not able to address these things on their own. So they would come to us, and we would look at what seems to be the, we call it the presenting problem, what they would like help with the most. Mm-hmm. And then based on that, we would set up a schedule and a structure, which would include several groups. It may include them coming two or three times to go to a group, which is an hour and a half. Each group is an hour and a half. It may also include, or will also include, them coming and seeing an individual counselor. We also have a peer advocate who has an amazing perspective and value to our team and our program to really help a person, you know, look at where they are in and how they feel about having a mental illness. And we also have a case manager who meets with everyone coming into the program, assesses any case management needs, which may be a housing issue, a financial issue. Sometimes people, their symptoms, feeling overwhelmed, feeling fearful, may have been exacerbated by a financial issue. So our case manager would sit down and maybe help look at budgeting, applying to certain resources and services. So we have a very well-rounded, experienced, and comprehensive team to look at all areas.
Okay, and you mentioned an APR counselor. Could you explain what that is? Did I hear you incorrectly? APR counselor, I thought you said.
APR, an individual counselor,
possibly.
Oh, okay.
Possibly. I probably
That's okay.
heard you.
Sorry.
Okay.
Nope,
keep going.
It's fine.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you, what is your day like? Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have clients you see, or, you know, typically, what is your typical day like?
Well, the typical day for anyone who works in the Spirit program, I'm the supervisor, so I will go between both of our programs that we have in both counties. But we have the day usually involves a group and then meeting with someone individually. Now, the consumers that come, the clients that come to the program, won't do all their services all in one day.
Right.
They might come to a group and then leave, come for an hour and a half and leave because they may have jobs or working towards, maybe they're, we might have helped set them up with job training, school, things like that. And then they may come on another day to see their individual counselor.
Okay.
So as a staff, we lead groups, we meet with clients individually. Because of the clients we have and having a number of clients, and their schedule will change, but ours usually consists of leading groups, meeting with clients individually, and doing case management needs.
All right. You have someone that is specialty is assessment and intervention.
Mm-hmm.
So what would that entail?
So that is when someone first comes into the program, they meet with a licensed clinician who is a screener of sorts,
right.
And she provides the assessment. So she'll sit down, usually takes about an hour and a half, and will meet with the client and or support family member and really go over in detail what has brought the person in, their history of their mental health issue, past treatment, just a very broad assortment of, we call it a biopsychosocial approach, approach that is affecting someone, you know, from where they live, you know, even developmental issues, past behaviors, things like that. So she will have a very in-depth, comprehensive intake with someone. And from there, helps to create a kind of a goal, a focus, a treatment plan, which is what we call them, of how we can actively help a person with where they are right now and what they need at that moment.
Okay. Now, you you have crisis intervention.
As a specialty.
Do you have to use that in spirit?
Yes, we do. And all of our staff are, all of our clinicians are very comfortable in being able to help someone in a crisis and intervene if there is one. So, yes, there are times that clearly anyone struggling with a mental health illness, it can be like a roller coaster. So there are times of stability, and then based on a various factors, that things may become overwhelming, leading to a crisis situation. So everyone, all our clinical staff are trained and comfortably and confidently able to help anyone who's experienced a crisis.
Does each client have a case manager?
Every client has a case manager, yes, and a clinician, and meets with our peer advocate. We also have a psychiatrist or APN on staff, too.
Right.
So we can provide psychiatric evaluations, medication monitoring, and adjustments as well.
And I would assume that the case manager has more than one client. I mean,
yes,
you know, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And the clinicians do as well.
Right.
The wonderful
right.
thing about the Spirit program is it's very, very manageable. That the program is, we're very lucky that it's manageable, meaning we don't have a large hospital setting. And sometimes that's exactly what a person needs. But depending on where you are in your recovery, maybe having something a little bit smaller that isn't a hospital focus.
More homey-like.
More homey. It's a different perspective. Right. And each are there and required at different times of treatment and recovery for a person. So especially, you know, both our programs, like you said, they're very homey. It's very comfortable. Our average group size, maybe 6 to 8 people, which I think is very comfortable. It's not overwhelming for anyone coming in. Someone can come in and just, you know, once they're enrolled and they're not quite sure if they feel comfortable, even though our program is group focused, we do know that there are people at different stages that may feel uncomfortable being in a group
right.
and sharing.
Right.
So they can come and sit and observe. I can tell you very soon afterwards, they will feel comfortable enough to hopefully share. Even our clients are wonderfully supportive, offer insightful, compassionate feedback to each other, and it doesn't take long, I don't think, for anyone to feel connected.
Is there a limit to how many clients you can have in a program?
Well, we don't have a waiting list, and people never need to wait at all. It obviously, we do have a limit that we don't like to have groups that
right.
large, so if we if a group, which has happened, where our groups, if they start to get past a certain number, then we just create another group.
Okay.
So we never have to worry about anyone feeling crowded or that it feels right. overwhelming that it's so big. We can accommodate.
Right. How long is the average time that someone would spend coming to see you? Is there
a wonderful
time
question.
Limit?
There is, and that's very important, too. The average person, I would say, is in our Spirit program probably 6 to 9 months. So it is time limited. It is not an ongoing day program. And I think that's actually helpful and empowering because we do our best and very quickly to help the person know, the individual know, that they are in charge of their wellness and their treatment. So when they come in, as I mentioned, we actively work with them to come up with goals or what they'd like to work on, what we can really help them with. And our goal is really to get them back out at an outpatient level of care, knowing that wellness and recovery is ongoing. And things can happen where clearly when someone leaves our program, they know that we can be part of their wellness plan, which is, what do I do if I need more help? They can call us anytime. We have people that do return very deliberately or planned to maybe say, you know, I know this time of year tends to be difficult. Sometimes I start to experience a manic episode if they have bipolar, for instance, and I really would like the added support and structure of this Spirit program. So that happens. But the hope is, it's designed to really help either teach someone different strategies and skills to manage their symptoms, address and maybe even resolve any issues that may be contributing, and help them so then, again, they can get back out to living their life, going back to work, going back to school, volunteering, enjoying their relationships on an outpatient level. The one thing that I think is important to add is, even though someone may be in the program and we're working specifically on something that, you know, that a person can also feel a sense of accomplishment, regain a sense of confidence by attaining or achieving something, and then they leave the actual Spirit program, we do have, we call it graduate group, which is a weekly ongoing support and therapeutic group. And that's helpful in many ways. And people go there for many reasons. One is obviously to help maintain the progress that they've met.
Right.
You know, maybe continue for the time being with their medication regimen that they've established. Also, it can be helpful, too, though, is if they happen to be in the graduate group and something happens, or there's kind of a decompensation, someone starts to maybe struggle again, there's that connection already, and we can bring them right back into mm-hmm. the program. So I love that service that we also offer with the Spirit program.
Let's talk for a quick second about money. How is this paid for? Mm-hmm. And if someone is low income, what would it cost them?
Absolutely. This is one of the tenets of Catholic Charities, is really being there to serve the vulnerable. We do accept most insurances. We accept Medicare. We accept Medicaid. And we do have a sliding fee for people who may not be able to either afford co-payments or the service. And if that's also the case, we do come up with, like I mentioned, a sliding fee, but then our case manager can work with an individual in the program to help them get insurance, whether it's Medicaid or any type of insurance, not only for our services, but for their whole,
right,
you know,
right,
mental health and medical needs.
Do you find that when a client comes into the program, that it's helpful to have family? Because some people don't have family, or their family disowned them already. Mm-hmm. And I know I found that when people call us for various things, it's always more helpful if there is family mm-hmm. involved in helping them.
Yes.
Not so much doing everything for them, but just as a support group for them, that they
Absolutely.
Know their family is there. You find that true, too?
Absolutely. It's helpful to have supports. And you're absolutely right. Whether it's a biological family or a family that's created, or supports that someone can bring into their life and their recovery, it is very, very important. I mean, we find one of the hardest things for anyone is to isolate and not have that connection.
Right.
So we encourage and use family therapy. We will bring in supports and family throughout this treatment and services that we provide. And we also have, which we've started in the Somerset Bridgewater site and will be beginning in Flemington, is a family support night that meets monthly. And that is very, very helpful. You had mentioned it. I think NAMI does this too, mm-hmm. to really help open or offer the opportunity for someone with mental health issues and supports to be able to have an open communication on what it's like from both sides.
Right.
And also what could be some strategies and skills and things that can be put in place to really reassure or validate a successful outpatient level of care.
It's like earlier when I mentioned the family-to-family class that we think.
I loved hearing that.
It's, you know, we try to get the person taking the class to feel what it's like to be the person with the illness.
It's wonderful,
and,
yes.
You know, yeah. It's not that they walked in there, walked mm-hmm. the walk, but it's that they are understanding what it's like to walk the walk.
And as you know, mental illness affects everyone,
mm-hmm.
and it can be very challenging and traumatizing to everyone.
That's true.
And I think, you know, one of the interesting pieces for me is when we had our first meeting in Bridgewater, the outcome or people, there wasn't a big showing. And one of the things we learned was that the family members were concerned. Someone mentioned, well, I was afraid that this was going to be an ambush and I was going to be attacked with everything that I've done wrong. And it was helpful for us to know that that's how a lot of family members may
right.
feel. And also helpful for us to really deliberately make sure that that wasn't the message we were getting across. And with that, our peer advocate in particular, she has at least quarterly a consumer advisory meeting, which is a group with all of our consumers and our clients and meets with them to go over what is working with the Spirit program. What would you like to see changed? What would you like us to keep doing? And with the different types of services that we provide, to get this feedback is invaluable to us. And then we're able to address it.
Is the program sometimes altered for an individual?
Yes. And thank you for saying that, because that's one of the things I'm the most proud of. We are very, very flexible. Very accommodating, and we have done that. So, as I mentioned, the Spirit program really is group-focused. So our hope is, and we have wonderful groups. So in particular, too, our groups are also, they each have a focus. However, we do accommodate to whatever may be the ongoing theme that we may see. For instance, for a while in Flemington, we did have a group where we had more older, seasoned clients or consumers, I might say, and along with not only maybe some aging issues that came up, we also sometimes medication may affect memory, concentration. So we can design one of our groups particularly to focus on like memory recall strategies.
Right.
We have at times people who are experiencing a lot of trauma. If that's the case, we are able to, with our staff who are very experienced and seasoned, put together maybe a focus on grounding techniques and strategies to stabilize symptoms around post-traumatic stress disorder and trauma. And in Bridgewater, for instance, we had particularly a larger number of men. So mm-hmm. our case manager, who also happens to be male, was able to kind of design a group and personally invite the men to have a male focus group on, again, men and the stigma of mental health illness, things like that. So that's one thing that we are able to do. We offer experiential groups, which are groups where you actually learn and practice what we know to be helpful. For instance, we have a guided imagery group. We have one of our clinicians is a certified Pilates instructor, so she has done restorative stretching. So our groups really do look at what the needs are of each client as well as a they're all evidence-based, and one of our mm-hmm. cornerstone groups that we have is an evidence-based curriculum called the IMR RAP group, which is stands for Illness Management Recovery. The RAP stands for Wellness Recovery Action Plan. And that is, as I said, a curriculum psychoeducational group that helps teach clients about mental health, navigating the mental health system, their illnesses and symptoms.
That's a project right there,
yes,
manual.
Yes, it is. And then developing.
Navigating the system.
Yes, and it's a mouthful. Right. But then developing a plan of how to continue their own recovery and wellness.
It's, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Could you expand a little bit more on family therapy? How does that fit into your whole group
yes.
structure focus?
Well, in addition to the monthly family support nights that right. Spirit offers, we have individual sessions with family members. And that is based on how the clinician and what the treatment plan might be. So if someone does come in either with interpersonal or family issues, we will set that up right away. If something kind of develops over time, then that will be incorporated. What I can tell you is our clinicians and our staff, as you mentioned, Larry, too, really believe and see the family component as crucial to any type of recovery and spend a lot of time trying to engage that connection and the family connection within with therapy. It might be a, you know, an hour and a half session or something like that.
But you don't generally have two people at the set. You don't have the consumer and a family member. It would just be the family member alone.
We have consumer and family member.
Oh,
yes,
together.
Together,
okay.
Yes. So that might be, you know, and we may have like communication, different strategies and techniques. If that's one of the issues that we see that might be a barrier to recovery and wellness, and can work with both the client and their support to look at how it's affecting each other, you know, how maybe to establish boundaries, limit setting, and different ways to communicate with each other, then they can go and practice that, come back, have another session, and look at, you know, where to go next from there.
Great.
Yeah, boundaries and limits are some, in a lot of families, very difficult.
Mm-hmm. And they change.
And because the mother may have this boundary and the father may have that boundary. And I always try to tell the families, got to be on the same page.
You're so right.
If you're going to have a boundary and you're going to say you got to be in by 12 o'clock mm-hmm. or whatever, you got to stick to that.
Yes.
And you've got to, if your consequence is, well, then you can't borrow the car for a week or whatever, that's what you stick with. You can't, because I know for a fact that a lot of the people with mental illness, they know how to work the system. They play the game. They can work one parent against another, and, you know, vice versa.
I think all children can do that.
Well, yeah, yeah.
By the age of three.
Yeah. But,
or maybe two.
But they learn how to do it in, say, different ways because of limitations that the parents want to put, or the, you know, one does, one doesn't, and they can pick up on that. That's why they got to be on the same page.
Well, what we know too is that, you know, families and each family member, we develop certain roles as we grow together. You know, there are the peacekeepers of the family, the referees, and you know, there are names of all these different, you know, roles and types of qualities that we develop. So the hope is to be able to provide a very safe, open atmosphere where every family member can feel heard, can feel supported, and secure to, you know, live their life, progress, be well, and treat themselves with kindness and positive self-care and each other.
Now, what if you had a father and mother and a child together? Can you do that? Especially
yes.
if
the father and mother might be not on the same page.
Yes, and having licensed clinicians, everyone's been trained in family therapy, couples counseling, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know from feedback from clients that I've recommended that your program is flexible.
Yes.
Because one young man in particular that I know, I recommended to his mom, you know, to have him go, and he was accepted. But he couldn't take group. There was no way he was sitting in a group with five or six people.
Right.
So they allowed him to have individual thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which a lot of places wouldn't do that. They'd force the person to sit in a group, and then all you're doing is beating them down, and then they're going to drop out, and they're going to be worse off than when they started.
Right.
But in this case, it was very flexible. They allowed him, okay, you know. I honestly don't recall if he ever went back into the group, but I do know that for a long period of time, he was meeting individually instead of with a group.
Yes, and several times a week individually.
Right. Right.
And obviously groups are important because it's nice to have the different feedback and perspective from different people and at different stages, like I mentioned, of recovery. But you're right, they're not for everyone. And there's no reason to make someone feel worse if that's not where they are. So absolutely, we do have clients that aren't able to. And like I said, we do try to help or maybe find a way where eventually, even if it is just sitting and gathering feedback from other people, but that's not a necessity. It's not a requirement at all.
Right.
Yes.
And it's interesting that it, you know, some people can't do that, you know. Well, I don't like crowds.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, I can sit in groups and stuff like that, but, you know, like parades, you know, people, go New Year's Eve, you know, New Year, what are you, out of your mind? You know, all those people stepping on me, and it's got to take, a lot of them go there at noon, and they stay there for 12 hours. You know, no, that's not happening. I'm sorry. You know?
Well, and not everyone needs to be life of the party or type A, absolutely.
Right.
I do have to say what I have seen, too, is because of, I would call it the positive regard and the and really our staff, what I love and admire is a sense of respect and integrity for everyone that walks through those doors and meeting the client where he or she may be, I think provides a sense of safety and security where we have seen a lot of improvement, an improvement where people start to feel comfortable to step out of that comfort zone, so to speak. So maybe they're not going to jump into group and lead it. Maybe they get to the point where they are just able to sit there and take in a lot of good feedback and insight from others. Or maybe it means that they're able to meet with other people. So we've had clients that, you know, the thought of them meeting with anyone but their one counselor is unheard of, where they've gotten now to the point where they'll meet with other you know, staff people, which just helps, I think, enrich their recovery process.
Is the process the same in both locations?
Yes.
I mean, it's not different in one than another,
it isn't.
Right?
The biggest difference, though, Bridgewater versus Flemington is, as I mentioned, the biggest criteria, too, is you have a mental health illness.
Right.
We do treat in both locations co-occurring illnesses, meaning we will treat people who are struggling with a mental health illness who may also have a substance abuse issue. However, the mental health illness needs to be the primary and presenting problem. So if someone is actively abusing substances, they would need to first have, you know, that stabilized before they come to the SPIRIT program. In Bridgewater, we do have an outpatient substance abuse program, and we are licensed to screen.
Okay.
We're not in Flemington.
Right.
So although we can still treat people in Flemington, the presenting problem really is mental health. But we have a lot of our clients have had issues in the past, and we are more than able to help maintain their sobriety in both sites.
You mentioned something earlier about job training. Do you get involved with that at all, or you just recommend it?
Our case manager will help someone who, if through their case management assessment or it's requested of the client, to help set up job training with different resources, maybe help if job training isn't actually what is needed or indicated, help with resume writing, interviewing strategies, things like that. So we don't actually do the job training, but we might help refer them. And as I said, depending on what the needs are, work with, you know, application, you know, submissions and things like that.
Another question for me that kind of goes along with that is you talk about people being in the program 6 to 9 months. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to see a lot of growth and progression, maybe with respect to jobs, health, so many things.
Mm-hmm. We do, which I like. Some people don't stay in that long either.
Okay.
Some may just you know, come in and say, you know what, this is what I really need to work on and stabilize either my medication regimen or something like that, and they're out. But I agree with you. We find that that's average because clients learn a lot. They work very, very hard, and having the support to really solidify the skills and the things that they've learned. So they don't just learn something and then they're pushed right out right away.
Right.
That they have the time to really let it resonate and settle in. And it's a, you know, it's a fine line and an art of wanting someone to feel supported, have the practice where these skills really, you know, do become stronger, but not take away their self-confidence where they then start to feel like, I can't do this without you. And that's when we really want to encourage someone to go out, try what you've learned. We're here if you need us again in the future.
Right.
Well, we only have a few more minutes left. How does somebody reach out to you? Mm-hmm. What is phone, email, Facebook?
Well, we have you can reach out by phone. You can call anytime. And part of our contract and part of our program is we will call you back within the hour that we receive a referral from someone, and we are able to offer you an intake, an appointment to come in to see if the program is really what you need within 24 hours. So we have different brochures and things at various places we can also send to you, but to call in, if you're in Hunterdon County, you can call us at 908-782-7905, and if you are in Somerset County, you can call 908-722-1881.
Great.
Yes, Hunterdon County is 908-782-7905.
And what about
Yes. And even if you called any number, our staff can easily get you to the right person.
What about a website? Is there something, if someone wants to learn more about the Spirit Program online?
You could look at the Catholic Charities website, Catholic Charities, the Diocese of Metuchen, which is CCDOM. Catholic Charities Diocese of Metuchen.
CCDOM.com.
Yes.
Okay. What else would you like to cover in our last minute or two here?
Do you have any, you do fundraisers or anything like that? Or?
Well, we are out and we try to get out in the community as much as we can just to let everyone know what a, that this service is here for you and what a great service it is, and to know that, let people know that they're not alone. We have wonderful referrals and resources that we work with all the time and collaborate with, really trying to find out whatever is best for the client at that time. So hopefully you do see us at different events and fairs and things like that. If something does come up, you know, we do our best to make our presence known and really try to reach out as much as we can so people know that we do exist.
Well, know if you ever need anything from NAMI.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome to reach out to us. Be more than happy to help in any way we can.
Well, we do reach out, and we depend and rely on NAMI a lot. That's a wonderful connection we have. And actually, pretty regularly, we have the In Your Voice you had talked about come
right.
to Spirit program and present, which I have to say, I guess, as you know, you had asked Tracy one thing to add, is being able to collaborate with, again, such wonderful resources that are out there in the community. So NAMI does come on a regular basis. I think actually you'll be coming soon. And I love that because it really gives everyone there in our program kind of the at the end of the road, the map of where you could
right.
be, and helps to go over the process and the path along the way. It's been so effective, so helpful for so many of our clients whenever NAMI has come in and presented within your voice. We also do other types of outings to help with adding, you know, social interaction, things
right.
like that. We were just at Grounds for Sculpture a couple weeks ago, which is such a wonderful place.
One of my favorite places.
And we have, yes, I love that. So we'll do different outings like that, and with the holidays coming up, we'll have, you know, celebrations and things
right.
along the way.
Well, I can't thank you enough, Teresa, for coming.
Thank you.
You know, and I mean it wholeheartedly. You will come back. Mm-hmm. We
I
will have
so.
You back.
I hope so.
Yes,
thank you,
guaranteed.
Thank you.
And, you know, it's just a pleasure.
Likewise.
Like I said, I've recommended people to you, and they've all been thrilled with the outcome. And, you know, so
thank you.
I really appreciate, you know, what you do. And we will be back,
thank
I promise.
You very much.
And remember, folks,
thank
we'll
you,
be here same time, same station mm-hmm. next week. And mental health really does matter.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in